We always extol the virtues of the apostles who left everything to follow Jesus when he said, "Come follow me." They did this without question, comment, or delay. And they set examples for the rest of us and how we should respond to God when he announces his will to us, when he invites us, "Come follow me." And yet the longer we spend on Mark's gospel, the later we get in that gospel and the closer we get to the cross, one might argue that those apostles who left everything to follow Jesus now want something in return for their efforts. We heard it first 1 month ago on September the 19th when we were gathered here for the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Then we were listening to Mark chapter 9, one chapter before the one we hear today. It was the first time that Jesus told the apostles about his destiny. They left everything thinking that Jesus was leading them to victory. But in Mark chapter 9, Jesus tells them his destination is Calvary, that he will only achieve victory at the great cost of his own flesh and blood, his whole life being poured out on the cross. And yet in that same gospel a month ago, in the previous chapter, once Jesus predicted his passion, once he told those apostles, "I love you so much that I'm going to die for you, that your sins might be forgiven, that you'll have a chance to live again and forever." No sooner had Jesus said that than all of a sudden the apostles, they were in a huddle. And what they were discussing there was who was the greatest. And God wasn't a candidate. Jesus, who is God, wasn't a candidate. They were debating which one of the apostles was the greatest. It seems then that perhaps they left behind everything but their pride. We saw it again earlier in the same chapter in last Sunday's gospel. The story of the rich young man. Jesus sent that man away, "Sell what you have and give it to the poor," and he refused to part with anything, not one thing, to become a disciple of Jesus. But our Lord then told the apostles how hard it is to enter the kingdom of heaven. He said it would be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than one who is too attached to the things of this earth to enter the kingdom above. Peter decided to argue with Jesus. We always catch him in the Gospels arguing with Jesus. And he said, "Wait a minute, Jesus. We left everything to follow you. What's in it for us?" There was a sacrifice, but only in hopes of a reward. And now we catch them at it again as we journey towards the end of the 10th chapter of Mark as Jesus is perilously close to the cross and to his passion. James and John seem to forget the three predictions of the Passion. They seem to forget that Jesus said, "To be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me." Instead, they decide they are worthy. They said, "Lord, when you get where you're going," and they forgot about Calvary, they're thinking only of victory. They said, "We want to sit on thrones. We want to sit on your right, at your left, in your kingdom." They want to sit on their thrones, on their laurels, while everyone else does the serving. It's not just them who asked this. In Matthew's account of the same story, chapter 20, verse 20, it's their mother, the wife of Zebedee, who wants Jesus to perch her sons on these pedestals. But whether it's the mother or the sons themselves, it's not a good look for the apostles. When they left everything to follow Jesus, that was so they could live like Jesus and love like Jesus and serve like Jesus and suffer like Jesus. But instead, we catch them time and again thinking that they're pretty great, because there are thousands of disciples, but there's only 12 apostles. And yet Jesus has reminded them time and again, every time that he predicts his passion, that they too will have to suffer for the sake of the gospel. But James and John would like to skip over that part. They'd like to get to victory without Calvary. This is a reminder to us that heaven comes at a price. It cost Jesus everything, blood, sweat, and tears, his blood, his bones, his life, in order to pry open for us the gates of heaven. And if it's going to be easier for the camel to pass through the eye of the needle than for those of us with earthly attachments to get into that kingdom, then it seems that we too have to be all in if we are in it to win it. That we have to be willing to serve, to sacrifice, and to suffer, blood, sweat, and tears, fear, and trembling, if we are going to be in that number when the saints go marching in. James and John, they wanted the glory. They did not want to have to earn it. Jesus wants us to be in heaven. He came on a rescue mission from heaven to earth in order to take us there. But we have to, want to, go where he leads us and be willing to follow the way he leads us to get there. And my friends, that is the way of the cross. We have too many preachers and too many places that are telling us if you have faith, nothing bad's ever going to happen to you or to those you love, as if it becomes some sort of force field out of Star Wars that can keep the harms of this world from ever touching you or those you love. But Jesus had more faith in one eyelash on his body than every Christian that has ever lived put together. And yet he suffered more in his body than every Christian ever has put together. That was a suffering of love, and he endured it willingly, not only because he loves God, but because he loves you, because he loves sinners, because he wants to save us and set us free, and he was willing to suffer and to sacrifice in order to do so. Let's remind ourselves, the last thing Jesus did for the apostles at the Last Supper before he went out to Gethsemane and went out to the cross is he washed their feet. And he said, "This I've done for you as an example of service. Now go and do likewise." Jesus was calling those who would follow him to serve, not to be served. That's the lesson he wants to teach James and John, the sons of Zebedee, in the gospel today. When he asks them, "James and John, can you drink from the cup from which I drink?" And with the same confidence, the same vim and vigor with which they left everything and their father in that boat back in Galilee to follow Jesus, they puff out their chests and say, "Of course we can. Give it to us." But they don't know the contents of that cup. Even Jesus, the human Jesus, was afraid of the contents of that cup. If we go to Gethsemane in the Gospel of John, not once, not twice, but three times, Jesus said, "Father, if this be not the hour," he's sweating tears of blood, "Father, if this be not the hour, let this cup pass away from me." Even he, at times, was afraid to drink the contents of that cup. But in the end, God's will reigned supreme because Jesus said, "Your will, not mine, be done." And Jesus was willing to drink that cup of suffering for the salvation of souls, the forgiveness of sinners, and the destruction of death forever and for everyone. And those who want to reign with Jesus must first be willing to suffer with Jesus and drink the painful contents of the cup of suffering in the form of the crosses that are given to each of us to bear. They are many. They are heavy. The way is difficult. It is far. It is unclear. But if we can carry those crosses far faithfully and well, for the glory, honor, and praise of God, if we can live up to Jesus' high bar, his definition of discipleship, deny yourself, suffer, serve, sacrifice, and follow me, he won't just leave us on Calvary. He's not going to abandon us on Calvary. He's going to use it as a launch pad to get us into victory. James and John need to be reminded of something that all of us need to remember. There wasn't just one cross on Calvary. There wasn't just Jesus' cross on Calvary. There were three. One for Jesus, one for James, one for John. Or better yet, one for Jesus, one for me, and one for you. And if we're willing to be with Jesus at that moment when none of those apostles other than John were, then surely he who leads us to Calvary is going to take us to victory. If we, like him, can carry those crosses, we will exchange them for the crowns of glory.